And don't be despaired. You think you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You know, the description according to Jesus of when the Holy Spirit's work is really being done. And it was Christ doing it. And they said he has a devil. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I mean, I know my former teacher used to take this passage and then he would read verse 11 and somehow try to connect verses 10 with 11 and 12. But they're not connected. In the other places where he talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, Jesus very clearly says, because they said he has a devil. They said, because they said Jesus had a devil instead of the Holy Spirit, and then he cast out devils by the devil instead of by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, well, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and you'll never be forgiven that. You know, any sin that is maintained is an unforgiven sin. If we persist in our sins, if we die in our sins, we will be destroyed. And the unpardonable sin, well, hey, you judge. None of us is worthy of God's forgiveness. You know, and if you hear it and it causes you despair and turn away from God, I say to you, you know what? You're better off, if that's the effect it has on you, that's trouble. Whatever you've done, turn to God and seek His favor. And don't stop. You know, perchance He may grant you repentance. But it says never. Maybe you're mistaken about the nature of your sin. Just like Peter, it says, well, hey, you deny me, I'm going to deny you. That's not absolute. I know it isn't because Peter denied Christ. But I'm telling you, don't let an evil heart of unbelief come in and say, well, I can deny him and he'll forgive it just like he did Peter. Not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. God is merciful, but he can also use those things to separate people from him. So don't let an evil heart of unbelief tell you, oh, I can get away with it. That's the thing. Don't think you can get away with it. Some things God will not pass over. God will not pass over certain sins, you know, therefore forgive them not. Well, and the same thing with confession. You know, people confess Jesus. Oh, I confessed Jesus 20 years ago. Let's keep confessing him. We got to keep confessing him. We got to keep affirming him. I want to die in confession of Jesus Christ, not in denial. You know, Jesus, if Peter had been like Judas and gone out and hung himself right then, God may not have passed over that sin of denying. He went out and wept bitterly. And God forgave him his sin. But that was a price to pay in much sorrow and grief. But you see what a great work it wrought in him. What sorrow, what vehemence. And so can other things we do. Yeah, sometimes mistakes can be part of growing up, right? In Christ. And there's no doubt that part of God's plan in this world is that sin should be in it. That we would be a certain kind of sons of God to him. Having gone through certain things. You know, I have no doubt that God thought this needful. That we should go through all this. Verse 11. And when they bring you to the synagogues and to magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And premeditating is not here the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's ridiculous. In other places, Jesus makes it very clear. To ascribe the Holy Spirit's work to the devil is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And therefore, this verse is not connected. In other places, it's very clearly connected because it says, because they said he has a devil. Here, it is something else. You know, it's an additional thing. It's saying, and when they bring you to the synagogues, don't premeditate. Now, we shouldn't disobey God. That's disobedience. But this is not the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Unless, I suppose, you were to say that the Holy Ghost, let's say the Holy Ghost starts teaching you what you say, and you say, oh, the devil's teaching me what I ought to say. Now, that might be the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But this is meant to comfort you, not to cause you to fear. Oh my, I don't want to, I'll be afraid. What if I start thinking about what I should say? And then I'll blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. Even when I do my Bible studies, I always labor. I read the chapter ahead of time, and sometimes the thought comes to me, oh, maybe I should write down what I'm going to say here, because an idea will come to me immediately. And I say, I should write that down. And I think to myself, don't worry about it. God will teach you in the time when you're teaching it what you ought to say. Jesus is saying this to comfort us, not to make us worry. So whenever those times come, you know, he will give you a mouth and wisdom that even the enemies will not be able to gainsay nor resist. And then verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? Jesus didn't come to, okay, come here. Well, you got to do what's right with your brother. Divide it with him. His brother, that's not what Jesus came to do. He would say, let him have it. If a man will take your coat, give him your cloak also. If he wants to take the inheritance, let him have the whole thing. The time is now to follow me. Not to be, taken up with covetousness. That's what he says in the next verse. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's all very simple. People think that he that dies with the most toys wins, right? Isn't that a favorite little saying among the foolish? That's the game of life. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. That's right in the face of what Jesus taught. I want to die with nothing except Christ. That if I possess him when I die, that's all I need to possess. That's the only possession I want to be concerned with. I want to possess him. I want to possess the divine nature. I want to obtain the promises of God. I want to lay hold on those promises and possess them. And I want to be possessed of them. So that I'm in them and I can't do anything except that which he would have me do. That my will would be bound up in his will. And that my deeds would be bound up in his deeds. Covetousness is desire. What people want, what people desire to have, possessions, money, goods, covetousness. That's why Jesus is not concerned with dividing inheritances between brethren. Your life is not made up in what you have. This is some important thing. I came into the world to cause money to be divided up. Not so. Rather, let your brother have that and you take hold on something a little more important.